word of the Lord.
We were talking at Elders about when are we going to be allowed to put Bibles back in the pews without having to then spray them all and who knows what. So we're not sure when that's going to happen. So I'm just asking you to make sure that somehow you bring a copy of God's Word, either a Bible or on a pad or somehow, so that you can follow. Because at this stage, we're still unsure about when we're allowed to do what. So it's better if we bring our own and then we're not in trouble. Now, if you're just with us today for the first time, let me say that what we're talking about, what I'm trying to talk about today, is to bring together some aspects of what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. Leading up to Easter, we did the I Ams. We did the question answers to Jesus saying to Peter, "Who do you say I am?" So we said, right, people have all sorts of ideas, but Jesus spoke for himself and he said, "I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this," and we looked at that over the weeks. So hopefully we are now stable in knowing who Jesus is. Last week, we looked at something of the section of Scripture that David read to us today, and we reinforced the fact of the resurrection and the hope that is ours. So my hope is that we now know who Jesus is, we've got that firm. We know where we stand, we've got that firm. Well, the question is, what are we going to do with anyone else? The fact that we know, do we just say, well, too bad about everyone else, we don't really care? Or is there a concern for other people? Now, remember, again, a couple of months ago, hopefully, most of us took either a little card or a stone. And that was to remind us that in each of our lives we have someone who is like a coin who's lost and doesn't know it, as someone who's like a sheep who's just wandered away, and someone who's made a deliberate choice to move off from Christian faith. And hopefully you are praying every day for those three people. Not the whole world. We don't need to take on the whole world at this stage. We can, but let's just focus on three people who are on our heart and in our mind. And do that. And doesn't matter who we are or how old we are, we can do that. And we'll change the world that way. But now today, I'd like to do a quick little reflection. And in doing a quick reflection, I'd like to just remind us of where we stand with God. So, what happened? Well, at Pentecost, people were told, first of all, wait, and then at Pentecost there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that is only going to happen once like that. Now, there might be revival times, there might be exciting times, but the whole world at once, wonderful, and everyone heard in their own language. And we know today people are still hearing in their own language, and that's fantastic. But when people say, oh, we pray for a Pentecost. No, we don't pray for a Pentecost. We pray for faithfulness amongst the people of God. That's what we really want. And everyone heard, and we are hearers too. Now, let's be reminded that the Holy Spirit's the third person of the Trinity, and we've looked at qualities and characteristics. And friends, we know that if we are followers of Jesus, if we have committed our life to him, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Don't be talked out of that. Don't be told that because you don't speak in tongues or you don't jump up and down, or that's out. The Spirit of God is in us if we are a believer. We are reminded, however, that like the balloon, We need to be filled. That's a command in Ephesians. If you're a Christian, you are commanded to be filled by in the Holy Spirit. Right. Now, again, that's not a jumping up and down thing. For some people, it might be an exuberant experience. But let's say it's actually in the Greek, it's in the plural, so it's for us. All right? It's for all of us. We all need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And it's passive. You see, I gave out balloons to people and the balloon just sort of was there. When it was blown up, then it became what it should be. So the balloon had something done to it. That's the passive sense. I am passive, Colin Rolfe's, I am passive. The Spirit of God fills me and God works in me as I allow him to. All right? It's present continuous, and we don't need to know all the Greek, but it means it's now an ongoing. It doesn't just happen once, so someone can't say, I've been filled with the Spirit, hooray! And that's it. No, that's not it. God needs to have control of us and continue to be allowed to fill us, continue to be allowed to mould us and make us into the people he wants us to be. Now, I've talked to the children about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure whether you identified with any of the fruit. I'm not sure whether you thought you might be a banana, or whether you're a passion fruit, or whether you're a lime or a lemon. I hope not. But you have met Christians who are limes and lemons, haven't you? And I've said before that my father-in-law used to say that he'd met a number of Christians who were baptised in lemon juice. And we just need to make sure that we really demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is not just a bit. Like, we don't say, oh, isn't that person so loving, but they've got no self-control, or they're not at all compassionate. No. You see, each one of us is like a fruit salad in the making. We're being made into the likeness of Jesus by the fruit of the Spirit being formed in us. So we're a fruit salad. So, Deborah, you're a fruit salad in the making, all right? Yes, good. We're each a fruit salad in the making. And they're the qualities that should be being manifest. So it is good to just check from time to time. God, are you working in me? Yes. Well, I'm not the most self-controlled person, and I know that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. So please work in that area of my life, although at the same time, don't give up on the other areas, because I need to be worked on in every area. So, the gifts of the Spirit are for the church. So when a person says, oh, I've got this gift, well, that's great, but it's for us. Realise that if you've been given a gift of God's Holy Spirit. So if you're a person who can speak in tongues, fine, let us know so that it can be interpreted, so that we can all benefit. It's not just for you to be selfish with, right? All of the gifts of the Spirit. So if you're a helper, wonderful, be a helper. And stand up and put up both hands, because we're always looking for helpers. Whatever the gift is. So, can you understand? Working in me to produce a Christ-likeness is the Holy Spirit. So I, as a person, am being a fruit salad in the making with the fruit of the Spirit. We, as a church, are being made to be like Jesus so that we are attractive to people. Now, the church hasn't always had a very good name, and it hasn't been improved all that much lately. But That's what God is working with. We had a thing in our household, children growing up, that you're allowed to laugh about people in the church because people probably laughed about us. But you weren't allowed to laugh about the church because the church was God's creation. So we could laugh about Mrs. Smith and her characteristics, and she could laugh about us. But actually, we didn't laugh about the church generally, because that's God's, that's his body. Well, this is what's happening, and I've got square pegs, round holes, you know what it's like, wrong people in wrong spots, sometimes in the church. But then we've got the work of the Holy Spirit. And isn't this beautiful, that this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us? Like, when Jesus goes, it's no wonder, Geraldine read, the disciples were saying, this is a bit scary. We're going to be left alone. We've been following this man and we thought this was the answer, but he's off. Don't worry, says Jesus. I'm leaving you someone the same as me, who is going to come. And he's not going to be a person to walk around Jerusalem or Nazareth or wherever, but he can dwell in each one of you. And that's the story with the air in the balloon too. Blow it up. Yes. So it means that each one of us, so Aidan can have the Spirit of God fully in his life, and Alex in the back can have the Spirit of God fully in her life, and so can Joe over here. We can each one have the full Spirit. We don't just get an arm or a leg. Be aware of that. We have the whole Holy Spirit in us. And because the Spirit is Spirit, Jesus is there, the right hand, sends the Spirit. We all can have the Holy Spirit in his fullness in us. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful, the Spirit in his fullness. And this is what he's going to do. Another counsellor, so he will counsel us. He's one who will guide us into truth, because we know Satan is the father of lies, so he will guide us into truth. We also know that he will be sent to teach and to bring to remembrance things that we have learnt, and to focus our attention on him. We need to emphasise that, and we need to realise, because there are some people who make the Holy Spirit out to be the one we worship. That is not true. The Spirit of God, his work, is to glorify the Son and to point us to the Son, and we need to realise that. But we also need to realise that Jesus has said, I'm not actually leaving you. It's going to be better for you that I send the Spirit, because he will dwell in you and he will be there forever. How wonderful. What a gift. What a gift. We probably should celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. We should have a Pentecost day, and in some churches, of course, they do. Now, it's for your good, and I've got up there those bits and pieces. But I say bits and pieces, and that's probably a throwaway line. Comforter, counsellor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, and the revealer of truth. How wonderful. Isn't that a great gift that God has given? A great gift. And as I've said, he guides us into truth and glorifies Jesus. Now, having got to that point, I quickly want to deal with the last couple of bits. We know where we stand. We've heard who Jesus is. We're right on the resurrection. We've now had the Spirit come, and now we say, well, so what? Well, in me, in you, each of us who are believers, the Spirit of God is working. Wonderful. However we ask, what is he doing to other people? Like, Is the Spirit of God only interested in us, our little exclusive club? Well, no, he's not. Because, as Peter says, God doesn't want anyone to perish. So he's working flat out in these three areas. He's working flat out in the area of convicting people of sin. And this is in chapter 16. So I said to you, follow with your Bibles, and I haven't even referred to it. But in chapter 16, he says, it's to your advantage that I go away, of course. And then he says, I will send the Spirit. When he comes, he will convince the world or convict the world of sin because they don't believe in me. So, friends, the Spirit of God is working in people's lives. And I'm sure you have heard testimony of people saying, well, somehow something's going on. Now, we need to be aware, you see, I'm changing by the Spirit of God and producing the fruit. So people are seeing in me, hang on a minute, what is it about Colin Rolfe's that's a bit different? So I'm able to bear testimony to that. But at the same time, it's like two hands working together. God is working with his Spirit, and here on earth I'm working, being transformed by his Spirit. But his Spirit isn't only touching believers, it's touching non-believers, so that hopefully his Spirit touching the non-believer and my witness come together. Hello, we now have a focus on Jesus. So we're working, we could say, pardon me, in partnership. So, sin, have you got any hope of convicting someone of sin? No, not at all. And in fact, we're not asked to be the convictors. There are lots of people in churches who like to point the finger at those people outside. Well, it's always good to point the finger at yourself first. It's not our job to point the finger of accusation at people. It is our job to simply witness by our lives and by our testimony to who Jesus is. So it's not to say you're wrong and going to hell. It's really our job to say, I believe in Jesus who asks us to come to him. And they should be able to say, well, we can see that you live a different life. That's how it should work together. Secondly, he convicts the world of righteousness. I'm going to the Father and you will see me no more, Jesus said. In Acts 3, when Peter was preaching, he spoke of the holy, the righteous one. And so the challenge for us is to allow people to see the holy, righteous one through the work of the Spirit. And he brings that conviction. He brings that conviction as well. And then the third thing that he does is judgment. He brings the awareness of judgment. And as I said, we need to be careful that we don't put ourselves in the place of being the judge, because that's the work of God and his Spirit. Hebrews says, since therefore the children, that's us, share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise took the same nature, that through death he might destroy Satan, who has the power of death, the devil. So that's been dealt with. And who bears witness to that? The Spirit of God. So friends, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. He brings about the awareness. We are just the adjunct help. Now, when I hadn't been here very long, I brought this along because our little granddaughter, who was a kinder at the time, came running out of kinder with this. and being interested in Aboriginal stuff, and I thought, oh, they've been doing some cross-cultural things. And so I said, oh, Daisy, what have you done? What is it? And she looked at me and she said, Papa, it's a stick with some wool wound around it. And I thought, oh, yes. I want to say, friends, there are lots of things about Christian faith that are very simple, that we have made far too complicated. There are lots of things that are actually sticks with a bit of wool wound around. You see, I think that when we realise that it's the Spirit of God in us, when we are open and he works in us, why wouldn't we allow him to work in us to make us like Jesus? And why wouldn't we give him the freedom to work in the world without us interrupting him to bring this conviction? Now, I don't mean that we don't work hand in hand. We do. But what we need to do is not to butt in with judgment and accusation and be an annoyance to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in the lives of the people we love. The best thing I think we can do is to be on our knees or wherever we go and pray for the people who are on our heart, that the Spirit of God would work in their lives and circumstances to bring them to him. But before we pray for them, we pray for ourselves. Spirit of God, continue to work in me, for I am a fruit salad in the making. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we come today and we ask that we would be people who are open to the working of your Spirit in our lives, that you might have a freedom, that we might be open, that we might be passive in the sense of allowing you to work, but then active in working on those things that you touch in our lives. And Father, help us to be active in the world, ministering to people through our prayer and through our lives, not through our accusation or judgment. Work in the lives of those who are on our hearts, those, our Father, who are the coins, the sheep and the lost sons, the people for whom we are praying. We ask through Jesus. Amen.